And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a phenomenal weekend over the weekend. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. You know, I know that we're going to talk draft today, but I just like to say Steph Curry's the GOAT, man. Steph Curry's the GOAT.
The GOAT, huh?
I don't know what he's the GOAT of exactly.
Well, he's the greatest shooter ever, no question.
Well, he's the greatest. He's also the greatest little man ever, and that means that he eclipses my favorite athlete of all time, Isaiah Thomas.
I know. It's a big statement from you.
It is, but it's – I mean, he is. But I thought about this yesterday. I think the most excited I've been to watch an athlete my entire life was Barry Sanders. You know, like that – he made the Lions
tolerable,
necessary to watch every Sunday. Yeah. Okay. Steph Curry is the most entertaining athlete of my lifetime. So that's where he's the GOAT.
Well, in the words of Nick Saban, you had him dead and buried and gone yesterday. Gone.
Yeah,
and then
you
all
did,
of a sudden
Joe.
They're back in there.
That was a reverse jinx.
Oh, good.
Perfectly.
Good. Hey, he's pretty awesome yesterday. 50 points in a game 7. You don't see that happen very often.
And the way he got him, like George Gervin looping finger rolls in the line. It's just insane, man.
Just nuts yesterday from Steph Curry. We'll get into that. And a couple of enormous upsets in the National Hockey League yesterday, too, with the 65-win Boston Bruins being bounced in the first round after leading 3-1. And the reigning cup champions out last night to an expansion team in the Seattle Kraken. We'll get into all that coming up a little bit, too. What a wild weekend in the world of sports. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing great this morning. And yeah, Joe, Robbie and I were talking about you. You prematurely tweeted about the Warriors. We're like,
emotional roller coaster.
Joe is all out. And he quotes the tweets like, just kidding, Steph. You're the best ever. Doing good this morning. Excited that we have a lot to talk about this weekend for the next couple of months.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen on the program.
Yes, we do.
And years.
People, yes, years. We have people texting in 30 minutes in advance of the show today as to what the Titans did this weekend. Specifically what they did in the second round, moving up to draft one Will Levis out of Kentucky to be the quarterback of the future for the Tennessee Titans. Gunner on the text line says, guys, I'm ecstatic with the Levis pick. I've been so frustrated with Titans fans online after round one. Same old Titans trade up to get a guy with max upside. That's what the fans have been saying. Not even giving it a chance. And then he goes on the, you know, just kind of the Colts comparison of them drafting Anthony Richardson as well. Joe, as soon as I saw the draft kicking off on Friday and the Titans moving up to 33, I knew exactly what they're doing. I knew that they're getting ready to draft Will Levis. And I had about 45 people text me at that time, just like, what is going on here? And obviously there's been a wide variety of reactions since then. So let's just start with you, Joe. Titans drafting Will Levis at 33 overall. They move up in order to do it. What do you make of what the Titans did on Friday in the second round, drafting Will Levis out of Kentucky?
Well, let's talk about two aspects of it. One, the personal aspect, two, the Titans aspect. The personal aspect, I mean, I spent 2 days in that Titans media room just absolutely hounding Kaharsky about the idea that Will Levis would be the pick. And when it was the pick, the howls of laughter that came out of my body at Paul Kaharsky's expense were amazing. It's, you know, for us, this is almost best case scenario.
It really is.
Like, I mean, any of the quarterbacks would have been, you know, made things way more interesting right here, obviously. Right. I mean, you're starting the clock and I think it's just amazing that the AFC South all of a sudden is just basically this whole, okay, you know, which one of these quarterbacks is going to end up being better? From the Titans perspective, look, it's an incredible value, obviously, if it works out. It's such an interesting thing because it's like, well, that's a heck of a value. And they did move up, which tells you something. But also, so again, it's like they want to be right on Will Levis moving up, you know, sacrificing a third rounder next year. After this year, they didn't have a fourth rounder. And getting him and using a very valuable second round pick. I mean, 33 can get you a lot of good football players.
Oh, yeah.
and they want to be a little bit wrong, you know, a little bit wrong, because if they thought that much of him, then you take him at 11. Now, look, I think one thing about this draft, I think it was discussed more than I ever remember it being discussed after a John Robinson draft. I mean, these guys are like, the board said this. Peter Skoronski is ahead of Will Levis. There's the board, right? I mean,
yeah.
The big board was faithfully followed by a Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. So
not a lot of wide receivers on that board.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I bet you there were, and those wide receivers were like in the 70s, and they moved back trading Levis, and then those wide receivers went boom, boom, boom. I bet you Downs, Tillman, and Hyatt, or at least a couple of them, were probably on that board, and then they're gone. So but the Levis thing, and we'll get into all that, of course. I mean, the Levis thing is just, I mean, that's what it is. The whole draft is that. It's Levis, you know? It's, if he ends up being a good player and what they hope he is, man, great job. You got him at 33, and these other teams, you know, were way up at the top of the draft.
Zach from Nashville.
But it might not work out.
Zach from Nashville says, I'm excited for WHMR, the Homertown Boys, Lexington's favorite sports station this morning. But sad that PK won't let Joe talk sports this morning since he's broadcasting from home. That's a great text from Zach. Very well done.
That is a great text. And, yeah, I see you got a Rob rant today. That's good. I'll save my PK. Maybe I'll rant about that the day right before PK comes on this week.
Maybe so.
It's about enough of his crap.
Look, all right. So as far as I'm concerned on the Will Levis thing, look, I made my position on him pretty clear before the draft. I don't like the pick, and there was not going to be a scenario where they drafted Will Levis where I would have liked the pick. Now, having said that, what I'm going to do now is what I would encourage every Titans fan to do, that even a lot of those Titans fans that don't like Will Levis, I'm not a huge fan of the pick. I personally don't believe he's going to be good. Now, I'm also open to being wrong. Like, you know, I think the job now, if you're the Titans, I mean, you've drafted him. So you've put your eggs in that basket. You've put your eggs in the Will Levis basket. So now, what you're doing, if you're a Titans fan, and particularly if you're a Titans fan that didn't like Will Levis heading in the draft, I think is, all right, well, he's going to be the quarterback at some point here, whether that's at some point this year or if that's next year, at probably the latest, he's going to be the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. So analyzing the traits that he brings to the table, we've talked about the strong arm. We've talked about, you know, the athleticism that he brings to the table. One thing that I don't think I don't think other people have discussed enough, the S2 score was pretty good with Will Levis. So there's that you have to factor in as well. All those, you know, the kind of testing that we've talked about so much with C.J. Stroud and Hendon Hooker and all these other guys, Will Levis did really well through that. So, you know, I don't like the pick, but I will be open to being wrong as the Titans move forward here. And that's just kind of the way that, you know, as I've kind of digested it this weekend, you know, we've talked about Will Levis so much in the pre-draft process, and it's almost surreal that he's actually here and is the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. But, I mean, there's nothing that they could have done that would have changed my mind about the pick itself. So now the only thing I can really do moving forward is to have an open mind and to actually let the information on the field as an NFL player influence what my opinion of him is going to be as they move forward here.
You know, the approval rating of Will Levis, if you went through, if you took Titans fans and you said, okay, this segment of the Titans fan base are also Vols fans.
Yeah.
And this segment of the Titans fan base, all the non-Vols fans. I bet you the non-Vols fans right now are probably like more than 50% in favor. And the Vols fan size are like 0.03% in favor of Will Levis as their quarterback.
And now you get to root for him. Yeah. Home team, baby.
Yep, you're just gonna have to warm up to the idea.
I got somebody very close to me that abandoned their Titans fandom the other day and is now a Detroit Lions fan. I kid you not.
Well, welcome. You can take my spot that I abandoned 24 years ago, and I'm still living a better life for it. Cheers. Are you serious?
They're 100%.
Seriously Lions fans?
Oh, yeah. And this was before they drafted Hooker. And then when they drafted Hooker, it was solidified.
That does it. Poor Hendon Hooker. Poor Hendon.
Oh, I made some Lions fans really mad with that tweet the other day. As soon as he got drafted, I said, Hendon, I'm so sorry, when he got drafted to the Lions. And some Lions Twitter fans really mad at me.
Yeah, I know. I said something about it. I tweeted something about it, too. And of course, I have a lot of Lions fans, you know, from Michigan, who they got all mad. And again, I just say, well, you're mad, I'm sad for you. The Levis thing is just, you're right. It is surreal, right? Like, we've joked about it. It's like, please let it happen. It's got to happen again, just for the entertainment factor of it. But look, I mean, obviously since the pick, and even before the pick, but even since the pick even more, and I've tried to read and digest everything written and said, you know, about him that I could find. And there's a lot of arguments you can make for him. I don't know if he's going to put it all together, but there are arguments you make for him. And of course, Vrabel and Carthon made some of those arguments after taking him Friday night, but it's going to be wild. And you know, I don't even know exactly how this year is going to go. I mean, there's a lot of ways it could go this year. He should sit, but who knows?
Michelle, how are you feeling with Will Levis, the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans of the future?
I had a feeling, you know, that once the reports started coming out that a couple teams started to trade in at the end of the first, and Tom Pelissero said one of them was, you know, the Tennessee Titans. And then I actually was watching the draft on my laptop while we were driving to Chicago this weekend. And, you know, you think it's going to be the Steelers pick, and you're like, no. And then Arizona comes up and they're like, there's a trade. I'm like, Ryan's driving. I'm like, oh gosh, they go the Tennessee Titans. And I whipped out my phone to get a video, because I always love to see Rand Carthon, Amy Adams Strunk, and Vrabel in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we sat there for a moment and I was like, whoa, we've talked a lot about this. But yeah, I was surprised by how polarizing. I didn't think it would be that bad on Twitter.
Oh, I did.
I mean, it was. It's a lot, you know, but we'll see what he can do. You know, they believe in him. I'm not paid to evaluate quarterbacks. I don't think he's as bad as some people think, but it'll be interesting to see how he translates.
Well, Joe, I mean, I will say that we anticipated a Titans trade with the Arizona Cardinals to go draft a quarterback for a long time now. So, I mean, I guess we were always right all along.
It happened. It had to happen one way or another. Yeah, the Titans did trade up to the Cardinals to get a quarterback.
They did. You know?
Look, personally, guys, I think he's going to be amazing. And we'll be back on WHMO.
There is one part of this that really has nothing to do with Will Levis himself that bothers me about this pick, and we'll get into that. Take your reaction to the Will Levis pick coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Titans move up in the second round, and they draft Will Levis at quarterback out of the University of Kentucky. We'll be taking your thoughts on that all show long, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I said there's one part of this that really kind of bothers me about this pick, and it has nothing to do with Will Levis himself. Like, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Will Levis and what he did at Kentucky and what people think of the pick, and all that's fine. There's one part of this that bothers me, and you brought it up in the last segment, and that is, you know, we've talked about quarterback and the Titans for a few months now, and one thing that we've been pretty consistent on is, like, if you believe that he's the guy, and you believe that whether it was Richardson or Stroud or Levis or whoever it was, that if they're the guy that's going to be your guy moving forward, it can be your quarterback, it can help you compete with the Joe Burrows and the Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens of the AFC, then you go get him. Like you do, whether it's moving up from 11 to 3 or whatever it takes, you go get the quarterback if that's the case. And I look at the way this played out, and like if you're from the Titans' point of view, you could sell it pretty well, right? It's like, well, we took Peter Skoronski at number 11 because he was the best player on our board, and we shored up the offensive line there, and then we got Will Levis, the quarterback that we wanted all along, at 33. And that sounds great. But like to me, it goes back to like if you really believe that Will Levis is good enough to be one of those guys and is good enough to be your franchise quarterback moving forward, why didn't you take him at 11? Like, I understand it worked out and that they got up and they moved back up and go get him at 33. But, like, when you passed on him at 11, there was no guarantee whatsoever that he was going to land in your lap again after that. Like, there's no way to me that the Titans could have known that he was going to slide out of the first round or that somebody else wasn't going to jump back up to go get him. And, look, there were reports that Tom Pelissero put out on Friday of the Titans, among other teams, trying to trade back into the first round to go get what I presume to be Will Levis. So I'm not saying that the Titans just woke up Friday morning and was like, huh, okay, Will Levis is still there. We'll go get him. But, like, to me, if you really believe he's your guy and you think that he can be your franchise quarterback, why did you pass on him on 11? That's the part of this that really bothers me about this pick.
Yeah, it's fair. And, I mean, I guess the big board said what it said, and they did it. But yeah, it's the same thing with receiver in this draft. The big board, I do believe in that as a strategy and in not reaching for need. But I do think quarterback's a little different. And frankly, I mean, I think at times, you know, when your need is so severe at some spot, I think it's okay to be like, hey, big board, you know what? I hear you, but it's not too far away. So we're going to go this position instead. And yeah, it's a great question. You know, Jim Irsay said that they would have taken Levis at 4. Had Richardson not been there. So Richardson, their board was Richardson and then Levis. It sounds like the Titans, because, you know, remember, the Titans still could have, still could have tried to get in there to get Richardson. They withdrew, and then, of course, the Texans got 3 and they got Will Anderson. It sounds like the Titans was Stroud, Levis. So it's interesting because there's two teams where it appears their quarterback rankings had Levis second, and yet there he went all the way into the second round. Now, granted, I mean, once you start the free fall, there's a lot of teams that aren't quarterback needy and all that. And I don't know, like you said, there's reporting that they did try to get back into the first. But, yeah, it's like, so this is our guy for the future that we're glad somehow dropped to us, and we got him in the second round.
Right. Like, I'm not saying that you can't, you know, we've talked about it all the time, right? Like, they're second round quarterbacks. I mean, Jalen Hurts just went to the Super Bowl, and by the way, good Lord, did they load up over the weekend. We'll get into that at some point too. But I mean, yeah. Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round. I mean, Brady is in the sixth round. I'm not saying you can't find that guy in the second round. I'm just saying, like, if you're the Titans and you truly believed that Levis is your guy and he's your franchise quarterback and that he's the answer, he's sitting there right for you at 11. Why didn't you take him?
Right. Now you can sit there and say, like, boom, we got a 10-year outstanding, they believe, you know, and a lot of people believe, outstanding offensive lineman and him.
Right.
Great. But, yeah, what are you saying? What does that say? So it's also like, so you went with the board. And that's, again, when they took Skoronski, I was like, okay, well, then what they're thinking is that this year, how many times have we talked about the fork in the road? You know, one path or the other, right? You know,
yeah.
Quarterback path, you're basically rebuilding, or non-quarterback path, you're trying to have the best possible 23 you can have. As soon as they took Skoronski, I'm like, okay, well, there you go. They're after they couldn't get Stroud. So they try to get Stroud to be the rebuilding team. Failed, took Skoronski and said, no, we're not the rebuilding team. Then they took Levis and said, yes, we are the rebuilding team.
Right.
But like, obviously, had they not, had Levis been, and he could have been drafted by Seattle, you know, somewhere in there. I mean, like a Minnesota or some team could have taken him to kind of be the heir apparent, just like the Titans. Then I guess you just would have gone on the path of trying to be good this year, I guess. Again. Would you have taken a receiver then?
Maybe, I guess. Keith on the text line with a good question says, I mean, couldn't you say that about every pick that didn't go in the first round? See, I don't think so. I think quarterback's different. I think
he was projected top half of the first round.
Projected,
the third round picks aren't projected as first round
picks. Like even I think to a certain degree, like even the Hooker situation's a little bit different, although he slid further than I thought he would. But like everybody thought that Hooker was gonna go maybe at the back part of the first round, but certainly in the second round. And he ended up going third round. I get that. But my point is, like, if you're the Titans and you love Will Levis and you think that he is your answer at quarterback for the next 10 years, like, they played a heck of a game to not take him at 11 if that's what they believed. That's my point. Like, if they believe that he's truly the answer and they didn't take him at 11, that's a heck of a risk to then try to move back up later and hope that somebody else doesn't take him in the draft. That's my only point.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see how you could be confident it was going to work out for you. Like, I mean, all these teams also try to do intel on the other teams and have an idea of who has what needs, what have they heard, this and that. How could they be, like, confident, like, you know what, we let him go here, we're going to be able to come up and get him.
Right.
It worked out, but I don't know how you could know that. I mean, look, everybody, and I understand there's a separation between media and people in the actual NFL, but there's still a whole bunch of interaction. And there's not one media person, including people who closely cover this draft, NFL insiders, whoever you want, who thought Will Levis was not going to be picked Thursday night in Kansas City, which is why the cameras were on him all night and his family.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's part of it that, I mean, has nothing to do with Will Levis himself. That is just a huge question of mine coming out of the draft. Because, I mean, look, to me, I mean, this is Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, to a certain degree, have now tied themselves to Will Levis and how that pick works out. It's different. I get it. It is different from moving up from 11 to 3 and trading all these assets away to go get the quarterback at that spot. But it is still a guy that you're taking, that you're moving up for at the top of the second round, that's going to be your quarterback at some point. And if that pick doesn't work out, a lot of the future of Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are going to be tied to Will Levis and how he does here. So, like, it's a different route to get there. But the end result's kind of the same, right? This is not the same as the Malik Willis pick where they're just taking a flyer on somebody in the third round. They've drafted Will Levis to be their franchise quarterback of the future.
Yeah. So Rand Carthon starts the clock. You know, this is your choice. But to me, I'm with you. I think with everything. I saw people getting all mad at Rand over the weekend. I'm like, this is as much Vrabel at least as him on all this stuff, right? I mean, I view all this as those two together. That's what they want, and I think that's what it is.
JC in Goodlettsville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. In the next Tannehill press conference, who is asking if he will mentor Will Levis? It's from JC.
Well, we made that joke in the Titans room, and I said, no, we need to ask Malik that question.
Yes. Malik, will you be mentoring Will as he comes in?
Josh from Nashville, what seems to be the issue with Levis? Levis, sounds like everybody thinks the Titans just drafted Jeff George. Huge arm talent, but a cocky attitude with no focus. And I said, well, if he had Jeff George's sweet, sweet mullet, there would be a lot less complaining. Anybody who doesn't know, Google Jeff George mullet. It's
pretty
absolutely
awesome.
Majestic.
So let's open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. What do you make of the Titans selecting Will Levis and moving up to do so in the second round? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Where did you end up watching the draft tonight, Will, and maybe what went into that after all the pomp and circumstance last night? What was tonight like?
It was crazy. We had a big family gathering planned tomorrow morning. Like, obviously, like, was thinking there was a good shot that I would go yesterday. So the only reason I didn't stay is because I couldn't get back home in time if I were to have left tomorrow. So ended up coming back today. The flight was supposed to be at 9. It ended up taking off until about 12. Traffic on the way home from Newark. I live in Connecticut. I literally walked through the door as my name got called, and all my bags, all of our luggage. I don't know. There'll probably be some videos at some point that my parents took of me when I got the call. When I was a crying mess, but it was so funny. We're all in our airport clothes and very different atmosphere compared to, you know, everyone getting dressed up with the nice suits and dresses last night. But I mean, this is what was meant to be, and I was ecstatic to get the call.
That was new Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis after being drafted by the Titans over the weekend, discussing his weekend. Obviously did not get drafted Thursday and made the commute home on Friday. Took a little bit longer than he anticipated, but Will Levis is a Tennessee Titan at the end of the day. We're taking your reaction to that on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Liam on the text line says, as a non-Vols Titans fan, I agree, Joe. It feels like great value. We got two top 10 guys celebrating with a nice dollop of mayo in my Diet Coke since I can't stand coffee. This is from Liam on the text line. Ben says, I can't complain about anything that has a chance of being better than Tannehill. Even at Tannehill's peak, we've seen him not be good enough in the playoffs. This from Ben on the text line. So some support for Will Levis early on the text line.
Yeah, well, yeah, on the Tannehill thing, you have seen Tannehill win two playoff games. I mean, I know we can go around and around on that too. And you've seen Tannehill in 19 and 20 set a standard, a quarterback play for the Tennessee Titans. Now, I asked this in written form today. Like, when's the next time the Tennessee Titans will have quarterback play that can rise to the level of what Tannehill gave this team in 19 and 20? And, of course, when he did that, he had way better support around him than he had, say, last season.
Yep.
But, you know, the funny thing is, too, I think Tannehill is a pretty good comp for Levis. Just in terms of,
which is going to drive some Titans fans nuts when you say that, but I agree.
Yeah, I would say actually Tannehill a little bit better athlete. Again, Tannehill talking about a college receiver, and yes, great jokes over the weekend. And hey, man, I don't know. Maybe Tannehill needs to go back to receiver. Well, now. They need receivers.
He might legitimately be wide receiver three on this team right now if he does.
But yeah, they kind of, and even like when we were talking to Levis Friday night, I had some Tannehill, you know, some Tannehill vibes. I mean, like he was great. He was really good talking to us about everything. You know, the Levis hatred is, I've been trying to figure this out, because yes, there's the Vols aspect of it for sure. But I mean, for example, I don't know if you've seen this. I had never seen this before. I don't know if Vol Twitter came up with this. Have you seen Billy Jean's?
No.
So Will, you know, William, and then Levis, which of course, when you read it, it could be like Levi's,
yeah.
Right? So some people calling him Billy Jean's. Billy Jean's is not my quarterback.
Oh, I kind of like that. That's pretty good. No, I had not seen that before.
That's pretty good. And I think some of the hatred, I've been trying to think of it, because like all year when just forget about the Titans with Levis. I mean, how many times have we joked about Levis and Michelle's in the room and like, stop joking about Levis. You know, you're being a little bit too mean to Levis.
Yeah.
But why? Like, why does everybody have the impulse? I do think that I think he has a brashness that people really dislike. And honestly, I think that his, like those TikTok videos with the coffee and the bananas, I think that fed into that. Like,
I do too.
Pretty, now look at pretty boy without his shirt on.
I think some people have taken that a little too far. Like, I don't think that has anything to do with playing quarterback, which is really the only thing that matters here. But I agree that that has, some of that is like, oh, you're just eating bananas with peels on and the mayo and the coffee and the shirtless selfies and all that other stuff. I think that has probably fed into it a little bit.
And then for the specific Vols fans who follow, obviously, everything closely, seen some of the stuff he said, I mean, even this year, he made the little, you know, took the little shot about real football, you know, comparing their offense to Tennessee's. But go back to last year in that amazing game when he was great. I mean, both teams, he threw the bad pick. But both, you know, that was an amazing game. It was a 45-42 Tennessee.
Yep.
I mean, some of his antics in that game on the sideline, he's brash. He's in your face. He is, you know, of all these quarterbacks now in this division, he may be the fourth best. He may be the best. Who knows how it'll turn out. He's certainly going to be the most hated by the opponent because
Right?
Like, that's how he – that's kind of how he goes about his business. He talks some trash. So I think Titans fans will eventually love that if he's good.
Correct.
Right? They'll totally love it. But I think that when he was on the other side of you, again, I think the Vols fans thing is definitely a big part of this. You hated his guts.
Yeah, like I think that's a big part of it. I mean, for me, I mean, really, the whole time for me, it's been as simple as, God, he throws some bad picks. Like, that's what it is. Right. Like, he throws some horrible interceptions. Now, the question now is, can you coach that out of him? Because, look, I'm not blind. I can see the talent that he has. I can see the arm that he has. I mean, he's got an absolute cannon back there. So I think if you deny that, then you're not really paying attention to what he is. But there's more to that than playing quarterback, as we've seen throughout countless examples in NFL history. So, you know, can you put that part of it together and take care of the football? Like, that's going to be my biggest question for him as they move forward here. Glenn from Greenbrier on the text line says, Vols fans are mad because the Titans didn't draft Hooker. What a miserable fan base. This is from Glenn on the text line. Dave from Arkansas says, I don't see why people are so negative on Levis. They want those other quarterbacks who don't really run our system. They must have forgotten how Mariota transitioned to the NFL. Levis led Kentucky to a 10-win season 2 seasons ago. That's impressive to me. This is from David in Arkansas on the text line. And there is the system part of this where it is a similar system going from Kentucky to the Titans.
Yeah, and that's fine, but that all that really means is that early on you may have a little bit less of a learning curve. You right. find a whole bunch of quarterbacks who play the same system and you don't want to be your quarterback. I mean, I want the best quarterback, you know? Like, yeah. Hooker, like, look, I ranked Hooker ahead of Levis, and I think Hooker may end up being better than Levis. Now, Hooker is going to have some time, of course, with the Lions, and so from that perspective, it's a good situation. But, you know, look, I mean Hooker was – the best player in college football last year for a stretch. Look, I do buy into, Michelle has said it, Junie has said it. I think there's some truth to it. Okay, let's switch up the conditions. Stroud, Young, Hooker. Okay, let's put them in behind an awful offensive line with no great receivers anymore, running back who played half the year because he was in trouble, and an OC that clearly just – I mean, he got fired before the season ended. So, obviously, the OC was not very liked. He did not have the same impact positively that Liam Cohen did. Put all those guys in that situation. Put Levis in some of those situations. Clean pockets, pros running all over the place at receiver, et cetera, et cetera. Are the results different? I would say yes. I would also say, to your point, Robbie, this is where it's just going to be fascinating. He does seem to be a little late. That's what Dane Brugler's analysis was. It's not quite trust himself, and then he's a half second late, and then it's a killer mistake, right? How much did that have to do with conditions? He still threw 13 picks, let's remember.
That's the thing. We got to stop with the conditions thing, too, because I understand the conditions. Everybody was going nuts about that. He threw 13 picks the year before when all these conditions right. were better. So it's not like the turnovers are a new thing. That's the one part of this that's driven me nuts about this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, 23 picks, 13 of them were in that really good year. Now, again, exactly. The year other than that was very good. He had great numbers, yards per attempt. All that stuff was really good. They won. So, like, even amid those picks, it was like, shoot, man, he could be, like, QB1 potentially. Some people were saying that.
Sure.
But, yeah, the picks were not just in the bad year. They were actually worse in the good year.
Uncle Fingus on the text line says, they're setting Levis up for failure. Do you really think the receiving core is going to be any better by next year when the time he'll be starting? Or if some reason he has to start this year, it'll be a disaster, even if he has all the potential in the world. This is from Uncle Fingus on the text line.
Well, Uncle Fingus, if they lose enough this year, the receiving core next year could have Marvin Harrison.
It could get a drastic
star for Marv.
It could be a drastic improvement. We'll take more of your thoughts on Will Levis being drafted by the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of that pick for the Titans? And what do you make of them trading up in the second round in order to get it? More of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You talk about, you know, bringing these QBs in for top 30 visits, getting them in front of you, and really diving into the person that the quarterback is. What did you see in Will when he came into this building that gives you guys confidence in moving up to grab him?
Will's a diligent worker, extremely smart, extremely bright, puts a lot of the time in, you know, to be a good quarterback. So you appreciate, you know, his ability to pick up concepts and things quickly. And just who he is, he's hardwired, you know, he's tough. And his most recent offensive coordinator, Rich Gangarello, I had experience with in San Francisco, so kind of knew how he operated within that system. And then when we brought him here, you know, our coaches and our scouting staff, we had good interactions with him, so it just, you know, made it easy for us.
That was Rand Carthon over the weekend discussing Will Levis, latest quarterback drafted by the Tennessee Titans. We're taking your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road presented by T.J. Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. So, Joe, there's lots of thoughts kind of all over the place about the Will Levis decision for the Titans to draft him. I will say, For the first hour today, at least on the text line, I would say way more people either excited / defending the Will Levis selection than the other way around, which is somewhat surprising to me based on what I saw on Twitter so far over the weekend.
Well, we talked about this before,
oh,
too.
Oh, we did.
There will be a talking yourself into it period. At some point, it's like, I mean, I guess you can switch to the Lions if you like. Good luck with that. But if not, look, there are reasons, there are things about Will Levis that tell you that it could work out, man.
Sure.
I don't know if it will, but there's also this from LD, from McMinnville. First of all, he has a roll the dice, play the board, famous Rand Carthon quote, yes, from the draft. But here's LD on the – says, my dad, 77, didn't watch the draft, so I broke it down for him. In order, T-Rex arms, mayonnaise man, no knees McGee, no pick, a guy who fights the ball instead of catching it, a dude who may or may not like ball, and someone whose main competition was my Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
So there you go. That's some excellent complaining in one quick graph. Good job, LD.
Very well done. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Jeremiah from Nashville. Jeremiah, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. I know hindsight's 20/20, but I just want to say this. Garanti's a great player. We all know that. But I believe exactly what you guys said. We should have took Will Levis with our first pick. Even if we traded back in the first round, got some more picks, and still took Levis, you know, like you said, you got to go get your guy. And that, the thing is, we could have taken Osiris Torrance in the second round, got our left guard. And when we made that trade with Arizona from pick 72 that we originally had, to pick 81, three receivers were taken. Jalen Hyatt, Cedric Tillman, right, and Josh Downs. And Tank Dell was taken a few picks before pick 72. So we literally missed out on getting the receiver that we desperately needed. And I think if we would have just stuck to picking Levis first, then we would have had basically like a complete draft that we needed. And that's all, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jeremiah.
I got one issue with that.
Okay.
He said, yeah, trade back. Okay. Who was trying to get into 11 and why? I mean, that's the problem. I mean, okay, trade back. Well, if someone was coming to 11, they were coming to 11 to get Will Levis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, we don't know the Titans didn't try to trade back, and they may have just not had a partner.
Exactly. Know? Right. So, like, I hear you. Look, going in, if they can trade back and get more picks, they need more players. They need more volume. But usually, not always, obviously, the Texans – ended up using, they were going to trade up to get Stroud at 5. Well, they ended up having to switch because they realized they needed to take Stroud at 2. So they traded up to get Will Anderson. But usually, especially higher in the draft, those trade ups or the trading back is when someone wants to come into your spot to get a quarterback. I mean, it just, it wasn't there for them. So that part of it, but you're right. I'm absolutely right. And we said it earlier in the show. Those receivers, I bet you the board had at least one of those guys and probably a couple of those guys higher than Tyjae Spears, and they get a starting receiver in the 70s, and with the trade back, they don't get a starting receiver in this draft, which they desperately needed.
Oh, for sure. Herb and Bowling Green on the text line says, there are a lot of us here that are Wildcat and Titans fans that love the pick. You're making this too complicated. Rand and Mike were 100% sure they needed a prime offensive lineman and 90% sure Levis would be a good quarterback. Levis is a Vrabel type of guy. This is from Herb in Kentucky on the text line.
I agree that I think Levis, having talked to him Friday night for really the first time, you know, you see sound clips in here and there. And again, you see him and it's like, man, that kid's pretty cocky. You know, and he, oh, look at this TikTok video. But I will say, an extended interview with him Friday night, I came away from that saying, yep, I'm not surprised. Vrabel, love that kid. Here's what I would ask of Kentucky fans, because obviously you root for your quarterback to do well in the NFL. You know, recruiting can be helped when your quarterbacks do well in the NFL. But Kentucky fans, were they all year long just like, nah, none of it's Levis's fault. It's everybody else. He did throw 23 picks the last 2 years. Are Kentucky fans unanimous and Will Levis is amazing, he's awesome, people just don't get it? Or is there any Kentucky fans who are like, wow, maybe this guy isn't as good as some people think?
I don't know. I mean, it's a great question.
I can answer it.
Go ahead.
I think it was the season before Kentucky hadn't had a season. They did have the 2018 season, but they haven't had a quarterback like that in...
Since Tim Couch?
Yeah, in forever.
I don't know. The lefty, Jared Lorenzen, man.
But, him coming in and actually have, they had a wide receiver at quarterback, Lynn Bowden, like a couple of years before, and Terry Touchdown, he broke his leg. Like, they haven't had a guy like this in so long. And I think it was easy to kind of like put the blinders up with the picks because the team was winning the year before. And then the just huge drop off, it was like, okay, blame the offensive coordinator, blame the O-line, blame the wide receivers. And it was like, you know, the team isn't going to be good. So I think the fact that he did so much for the program the year before, yes, he threw picks. He wasn't great, but they were winning, is an easy way for them to kind of look at that. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kentucky fans, but that's how I kind of viewed it and the gauge I got from other people.
So you think he's amazing?
I did not say that, Rex. Also, Joe didn't show up to work today, and he totally on air said if the Tennessee Titans don't draft two pass catchers in the second and third round, he would eat mayo and coffee. So don't act like I forgot it.
You tell me what segment. See this delicious line? I'm hoping that the mayo is like hydrochloric acid and dissolves this Lions coffee mug. So you just tell me. You say, well, I'll bring my Duke's thing up here. I knew I had to be close to the mayo today.
Well, the interesting part about the Levis thing, from like just a statistical standpoint, right? Like, everybody talks about how bad that offense was this year. He had more yards per attempt this year. He threw less picks this year than he did the year before. He was 400 yards away from throwing as many yards, and he played in two less games. Like, I mean.
And he was hurt. He was injured.
The stats are way closer than people think they are.
So if you want to spin it his way, what you could say is he actually made progress despite the conditions. What if he had last year's conditions? What would it have been like? What if he didn't have a toe injury that basically took the running, the QB run stuff away from him, which was very effective the year before? I mean, you could spin it that way for sure. Again, for me, I watched him closely twice.
Yep.
Well, I watched the Florida game too, and he was good in that game. He was better than Richardson. But the two games I really watched, and one in person, was the Tennessee and the Vanderbilt games. By the way, William from Madison, because Vanderbilt fans should have a voice today. So with all the Kentucky talk today, I'd like to point out Vanderbilt sweeps Kentucky 6-1 against Kentucky in football, basketball, and baseball.
Thank you,
it's
William.
A school calendar year. So Vanderbilt fans get a W too.
Thank you, William.
But it's that's, again, for me, and I've said that many times as we talked about Levis leading up to the draft and praying for this day to come. It's just like, man, he was so bad that night. They were so bad. They were overwhelmed by Tennessee's defense, which a couple weeks later went to South Carolina and could have been like a 12U flag football team. So makes sense of that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that's just college football too. I mean, look.
Yes.
I watched a fair bit of Levis last year. Obviously, the Tennessee and the Vanderbilt game I watched. But the Ole Miss game, I mean, where he fumbled the ball, too. Like, the turnovers, you got to find a way to, especially in big moments, not let those happen. Now, just because he did some of that at the college level, I mean, the question now is, can you coach him out of that at the NFL level? Like, can with Mike Vrabel and Charles London, who, by the way, has become very important in this building, now that Will Levis has been drafted with Charles London in there. Like, can they find a way to develop him? Because, again, I've always said this. He's got a huge arm, and he's got ability. I've never denied that. But can he put that part of it together, and can they develop him into, yes, you've got the big arm, yes, you can make every throw, can you make better decisions? Like, that's what's going to have to be the focal point for the Titans as they sit here and try to develop him. And look, you know, it's going to be interesting now to see how they handle him this year. I mean, obviously, I think you and I would both agree that he will be ahead of Malik Willis on the depth chart by the time training camp rolls around. That would be my guess.
Apparently not.
At this point, but we'll see how that...
That's what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
What's Malik think? He's just going to come in and lay down?
I don't know. But if he's not ahead of Malik Willis, that would be interesting. But...
yeah, it would be.
That would be very interesting. But I'm interested to see how they handle that. Like, is there a point? I just assume that Tannehill's going to start and that Will Levis is going to spend a year learning behind Ryan Tannehill. And then when 2024 rolls around, it'll be Will Levis' show and he'll be the quarterback. Is that the way they're thinking? Is that the way that they're thinking the whole year? Or does that change by like game four? That part of it's going to be really interesting to me too.
Hey, you can make the case to release Tannehill right now.
That's what I'm saying, and some people have made that case over the weekend. We'll get into all that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into that. We'll also take a look at the rest of the Titans draft, including a gigantic hole still left on their roster. We'll get into all that next, too. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.